Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 19th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we'll discuss the marijuana industry. Massachusetts and Vermont have both legalized recreational use of the drug, and it has become fairly big business there. While New York lawmakers consider a similar move, Thomas Winstanley is the director of marketing at Theory Wellness in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Also on the line, we have Mark Aronoff, a mental health counselor and author of the book, The Cannabis Craze, a practical guide for parents and teens. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Thomas, Mark, your cannabis calls coming up on Vox Pop. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we will discuss the marijuana industry. And joining us on the line, two guests. Mark Aronoff is CEO and founder of TLC Consultants, a consulting firm specializing in wellness seminars, executive mentoring, and motivational change for regional companies, employees, and individuals. Over 25 years, Mark has worked with IBM, Pfizer, and AT&T. He is also the author of The Cannabis Craze, a practical guide for parents and teens, which takes a look at the psychology behind adolescent use of marijuana. Mark recently has been focusing on the effects of marijuana on quality of life. Thomas Winstanley is a Berkshires native and the director of marketing for Theory Wellness, a vertically integrated cannabis brand in Massachusetts. In his 2 years at Theory, he's helped the company transition from medical to recreational sales and helped support the growth through public education and demystification of the state's emerging cannabis industry. He oversees all of the marketing and customer service teams out of their Great Barrington offices. If you have a question today about marijuana or the marijuana industry, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpopwamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Mark Aronoff and Thomas Winstanley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Nice to have
Great
you
to be here.
Nice to have you here. Thomas, let's start with you. Now, it has been almost 4 years since voters in Massachusetts legalized or voted to legalize marijuana. It has now been coming up on a couple of years since some of the stores have opened. Tell us about this market. What trends are you seeing?
Yeah, certainly. So first off, thanks for having us on the show today.
Sure.
Really, what we're starting to see is a broader proliferation of both recreational and medical stores in Massachusetts. I think to date, we are looking at somewhere in the vicinity of 66 recreational stores and about 59 medical stores in Massachusetts. And every month, we're seeing a handful more come into market. What we are starting to see is that a lot of the numbers are going to continue to grow. And we're also seeing a lot of discussions from neighboring states around legalization, which we think ultimately will be a good thing, because at the end of the day, we do believe that cannabis access should be available to all.
Mark Aronoff, you have been on this program in the past, and we have talked about your book, The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Since the legalization now is coming up on 4 years in Massachusetts, the stores have been open for some time. I assume proliferation of marijuana in Massachusetts is a little more widespread, perhaps, than it was in the old days. What are you seeing as far as usage, specifically with teens, but also with older adults?
So, absolutely, proliferation is the word. There's access that we never had before. One of the concerns as a scientist of research and looking into what's behind, in a neutral way, the numbers, is the potency. And we certainly are seeing an increase in the perception that marijuana is safe and fine. And I'm holding a neutral position myself. But what concerns me as a clinician is the perhaps perception that it is 100% harmless among young teens. And I mean young anywhere from 10 to 13, 14, 15 as a onset of starting and onward. And I started smoking pot at the age of 15 back in the day, and it was 1 to 3%. And today we're anywhere from 20 to 30, 35%. And it's those concerns that I see, perceptions, concerns about potency. I can get into some statistics if you'd like, but certainly the state of Massachusetts is on its way, and it's big business, and I'm all for, to be honest, responsible recreational marijuana being legal. That said, I have my concerns.
Now, that's a good point about the potency. Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness. You know, we hear the old timers say it, and Mark just said it. Not that Mark is that old, but you know, the pot today much stronger than the quote unquote old days. How do you
Woodstock?
And how do you maintain that level and test the level of whatever the THC levels are in your products?
Sure. So I think there's a lot to be said around this. So first off, there's been a lot of progression around the types of genetics that are being used to actually breed the cannabis plants. And a lot of the time what they're doing is they're taking different types of cultivar, different types of flower, and breeding them based off of the elements that people like, usually the THC and the CBD. And so what has started to grow is that there is an increased percentage. And the way that we know that with certainty, and one of the advantages of a legalized market that we have in Massachusetts, are all of the products that you will buy from a recreational or a medical dispensary, all of them are independently tested at third-party laboratories within the state of Massachusetts. And so what they're actually screening for is, yes, you will understand what the, you know, the profile of your flower is, what that THC percentages are, what the THC percentages are. But in addition, we're also screening for things like heavy metals. We're looking for any type of chemicals or anything that might have an adverse impact on a consumer. And so one of the things that we're really interested in is we listen to our customers. We're watching a lot of the trends of what our customers are looking for. And actually, to Mark's point, you know, we kind of joke a little bit about the idea of this new age of cannabis. And something that we're working on is actually going back to some of the older types of cultivar that, you know, I call it quote-unquote dad weed that my dad liked from back in the day.
So heirloom varieties we're talking about here.
Yeah. So, you know, some of your listeners might know Acapulco Gold, which is a very old school flower that we're actually bringing back into the mix through our dispensary down at our, which we're growing right now at our outdoor farm in Sheffield. And so one of the exciting things for us within the industry is, yes, the types of flower are changing, the potency is changing, but we're also wanting to find a middle ground of some of the stuff that a lot of people fell in love with, you know, back in the day. And so we want to try to find that balance. But ultimately, we know exactly what's in our product, and we know what the level of testing is going to look like for everything that hits our shelves, which makes it a much more secure buying experience.
What is the most popular product, not specifically, but I mean, what form is the most popular with your clients at Theory Wellness?
Without a doubt, it is flower. It is the tried and true buds that people come and purchase. And that's actually been a sales trend that has maintained its place as our top seller. And overwhelmingly so. People really want to come and purchase the flower from us. And ultimately, I think part of that, the mindset of our consumers are, they know that they're getting something that is not going to be mixed with anything else, and it's coming from somewhere that is certified and of a high quality. So that trend has really been consistent since we opened.
I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here. Mark Aronoff is the author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Thomas Winstanley is Director of Marketing for Theory Wellness, and we'll hit the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551 is the number, or you can email us at voxpopwamc.org. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We talk about the marijuana industry today with Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and Mark Aronoff, author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Mark, you have been focusing lately, it is said, on the effects of marijuana on quality of life. Give me an example.
So I recently was at a symposium as a guest speaker, and I titled it The Existential Implications. And what I mean by that is this, that when I ask a young, and I work with a lot of teens, and this is primarily teens, do you think marijuana is medicine? They unequivocally say yes. Yes, it's medicine. And then I love to ask the question, then what is the ailment? And they almost always have an answer. I'll tell you the ailment, and it could be anxiety, it could be sleeplessness, it could be stress, it could be I hate my alcoholic parents, it could be, and what I look at is the reason behind. So the premise of the book is if a teen chooses to smoke marijuana, we pretty much cannot stop them, short of military-style intervention. That said, what resources do we have? So in the field of harm reduction, we talk about things like mitigating risk, communication with your parents. Where are you at? Do you even know why you smoke? What are the stressors in a family system? So these are existential questions. What is the quality of your life? And what's interesting is, and I say this with humility, is that some of the scarier statistics is young people who start before the age of 18 have a higher correlation to suicidality later in life. Now, we don't know if marijuana is the cause of that, but if they start smoking earlier, we're seeing changes in the brain and, in particular, some increase in depression, suicide, ideation, and attempts. So I really encourage and this idea of who are we and where are we at in the quality of our life. Our culture is often prone toward excess, this idea of ingestion to excess, particularly among alcohol, which, by the way, I consider far more dangerous in excess. But what does it mean to moderate? What does it mean? You know, there's a kind of a fact, I think, with marijuana that you just get to a point where you don't get higher. You know, 35%, a couple tokes, and you're good. Do you need 20 more? You know, you don't get higher. I heard a kind of a little statistic that you just get more stupid, which in and of itself could be fun. But who are we? Where are we at? How are we seeing our lives in relation to quality of social contribution, society, the good citizen, all that kind of fun stuff I like to talk about.
Thomas Winstanley, I'll give you a chance to respond to that, and then we'll read one email here and then go to the phones.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we're really encouraged about with the future of the cannabis industry is the amount of research that is now going to be moving forward around this plant. Given the prohibition that has occurred over the last, 100 years or so, we haven't really been able to study and dive deep into not only efficacy, but also the side effects of a plant like this. Something that protects us and that makes things a lot easier for us to navigate as a company is the state of Massachusetts has put in such strict guardrails around making a purchase, validating age, and ensuring that we're promoting a very safe approach to cannabis. And this is something that we don't take, that we take very seriously across all aspects of our operation and everything down to making sure a customer is met where they are in their cannabis journey. And certainly I think over, as legalization starts to really take more foothold across our country, we look forward to seeing the kind of research to help us understand how this product is going to function, because we know firsthand from our stores that this product does help people who are 21 and older. And a lot of our medical patients love to come back because it's something that they rely on. So we look forward to seeing how research starts to develop in a more public eye to help us understand the way that this plant is going to manifest itself in the future.
We are joined today on this edition of Vox Pop by Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and also Mark Aronoff, who is the author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. One email here, gentlemen, and then we'll hit the phones at 800-348-2551. This one came in from Tim in Saratoga. Tim writes, "It seems that today mainly flower buds are marketed, where the highest THC compounds are found. When I was in college in the 70s, we smoked mostly leaf. In leaves, wouldn't there be more terpenes and CBD compounds? Might that be a reason for the broader, more enjoyable, and milder high of those older experiences?" And that is from Tim in Saratoga. We'll let Thomas go first.
Yeah, so if I'm understanding the question correctly, what we're doing is when we actually are harvesting and we're curing our products, we actually hand trim all of those, what we call sugar leaves, off the plants, because ultimately what we want to do is we want to maintain the really core structure of what we call the colas on the plants, which is really where the concentration of the trichomes are and where you're going to find the highest amount of the THC and the CBD. Really the workhorses and the entourage effect of how cannabis will express itself inside the body. Back in the day, there was not as much trimming. You saw a lot more what we call larfy plants that have a lot more air on them, a lot more of those big leaves. Nowadays, we're always looking to evaluate our flower based on what is the expression. And then we make sure that we take it through a hand-trimmed process where most people don't actually realize when you open up a jar of flower from one of our operations and you pick up that first bud, your hands are usually the first human hands without gloves that touch that plant. So there's no human contact really aside from us trimming the buds with gloves. And we keep a very close eye on our quality control. And part of that is nowadays people don't really want to see those big fan leaves. They don't want to pay for that because it is lower in some of those things that the email was referring to.
Okay.
So it is part of the new age.
All right, Mark, I know you referenced the stronger pot these days, but if you would like to comment on that email before we go to the phones, go ahead.
Well, I mean, back in the day, I was a product of Acapulco Gold, and there was certainly. I mean, it's funny because I think it was something like 1 to 5% back in the day of Woodstock, and it was enough. And now it's 30. And THC, we know, is the active ingredient. And yes, there are many chemicals but the primary psychoactive ingredient is the THC and how it interfaces through the blood-brain barrier and is processed in the body. And we know, of course, eating and consuming the marijuana is a much longer psychoactive effect. But, you know, my understanding is simply the THC is what gets us high. And today, yeah, it's really state-of-the-art, hybrid and quite the like created marijuana for the effects that we want. So, by the way, I also want to add just one tidbit that I'm really seeing a generation of older folks. I don't know if you're seeing this on a theory, but older folks are really stepping up their game to explore this as a new industry and a new generation of people trying it.
Thomas.
Yeah, and we would agree with that, too. So we have a lot of, at both our Great Barrington and Chicopee locations, we are seeing a very large proliferation. And one of my favorite things to do is on a busy day, go and chat with some of the folks who are in line. And we hear everything from, I've been using cannabis for 40 plus years. I've never been to a dispensary. I want to see what this is all about. And then you have more discerning customers who are coming back and saying, oh my goodness, that triangle mint that you had that was 28% was the best flower I've ever tried. I've never expected to be able to experience something like this. And what is really interesting is that you start to see cannabis reaches across multiple generations. And it is a great unifier. And as we're learning about this industry, I think there is a, no pun intended, re-sparked interest from older generations to see what we're doing as part of building this new foundation that, frankly, many of them never expected to see in their lifetime. So Mark is totally right on.
All right.
We are seeing a large proliferation here.
And thank you for using right on during this program. It's perfect. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Jim in Hague has been waiting about a half an hour. Jim, sorry for the wait. You're on. Oh, Jim is dead. Hello, Jim. Oh, poor Jim. I apologize to Jim. We made him wait a really long time, and now he's nodded off. Let's go to Chuck in Hudson. Chuck, you're up.
How you doing? Does his packages can be harmful with that, what do you call it, service?
A warning label?
General there? Surgeon General?
That's a great question. Thomas?
Yeah. So every one of our packages has basically a paragraph that states everything from including multiple servings to not actually being approved by the FDA. We do have a very extensive list of information that we do put on every piece of packaging that is provided to us from the Cannabis Control Commission. Not only are you getting some of this general warning information, but you'll also find affixed on any packaging that you get from us are all of the testing information, which we were referring to earlier, to really help consumers understand exactly what the products are that they have, including serving sizes, total amount of THC, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, you have all of that information. Question.
Go ahead, Chuck.
So do you have are you high now?
All right.
Not at the moment, no.
All right, Chuck, are you? Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Hey, Gail in Oneonta. Gail, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to speak on New York State and medical marijuana. Went to my physician, and we were talking about changing medications for pain and to use medical marijuana. To do that, I would have to go to Albany or Binghamton, and if you're not capable of being able to travel for being illness or transportation, that makes it very difficult. It also takes a 40-minute appointment. The doctor needs a heads up before he does it because I mean, there's no way the consumer knows that that takes longer for the physician to fill out all these papers and everything. And I just think it's they've got to do better in New York State as far as being able to get medical marijuana. And
okay, well, I'm not sure these guys can really talk to that, but Mark, you go ahead.
I'd like to see New York State catch up and at least make, not quite sure why it's so caught up in taking so long in New York State, but I'd like to see the state make it simpler for someone like yourself to access medical marijuana. I mean, I can only speak to just my intention of seeing it mindfully get its act together, so
all
to
right.
speak.
Gail, thanks a lot for the call. We're joined today by Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and Mark Aronoff, who is the author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. And we go now to Liz in Canaan. Liz.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. You're on.
Hi. So I have two questions, actually.
Okay.
All righty. So the first question is, why is dispensary cannabis so much more expensive in Massachusetts? Not even compared to, like, what it used to be like on the streets for like $40 an eighth, but even in California, like out the door, they have eighths for $23.
Okay.
Whereas in places like Theory Wellness, it's almost $60 after tax.
Thomas, we don't want
to. And the other question is,
when you respond, Thomas, just we don't want to do prices. You don't do that in public radio for anything.
Sure.
Just bear that in mind. All right, go ahead, Liz. Finish up.
Alrighty, and then the second question is, what do you guys think is the likeliness of states like New York and other bordering states to Massachusetts that they will legalize cannabis and start collecting the tax dollars many of their residents have been giving to Massachusetts?
That's a fair question. Thomas.
Yeah. Liz, and I appreciate you asking it because I think this is a question that we get asked quite a bit. So right now, the costs are expensive comparatively to more mature markets that you're seeing out on the West Coast. The main reason for that being is that on the East Coast, we have Massachusetts is the only recreational market right now that is operational. With that, there are exorbitant amounts of startup costs. The planning process for licensing is incredibly expensive. But really, at the end of the day, the demand is so high being the first one on the East Coast, and the supply is really low. And so the amount of licenses for people growing are increasing, but it's still not necessarily meeting that critical threshold. And so what that ultimately does is that drives the price of cannabis up. We do expect over time, with more markets coming online, increased competition, which are both really good things for the future of the industry, those prices will start to come down. So when you look at a Washington state or a California that has been a legal market for, you know, almost 10 years at this point, they have enough growers and they have enough product right now that they actually drive the costs down. So we actually joke about this as a race to the bottom where over time, these costs are all going to come down across the board. Competition is really going to do that. And that will certainly start to affect pricing, not just in our state, but also in states like Maine, which is moving towards legalization, And to address your point about New York, New York as well. And for us, we actually are big supporters of more states legalizing around us. Right now, it's really nice for us. But as I said earlier, cannabis access should be granted for all. We are firm believers in that. Our CEO, Brandon, had actually written an op-ed in response to Governor Cuomo's 2020 State of Address about the path to legalization. And certainly, we do respect the fact that taking the right time to get policies in place to create an equitable environment for companies to operate in, that's a really big piece to solve, especially for a new emerging market and across multiple states. So we really look forward to it, and we really hope over, you know, the next year that we do start to see more ballots that put cannabis legalization on there. But we also want to make sure, too, what we stand for very firmly is that we want equal access for all to come in, so big players don't just sweep up all the game pieces and cut out all the little players. And so hopefully in New York they get that right in all the neighboring states. And again, coming back to the pricing side of things, we do expect prices to come down. The 20% sales tax, which really I think affects consumers, that's certainly something that we can't really control. That adds a little bit more of the pricing discrepancy. But you will start to see it over time. And something that we're working on is our outdoor farm is somewhere where you're actually going to get much more affordable pricing around cannabis because it is grown outdoors, because it's not using the same amount of electricity. It doesn't require as much of an environmental footprint compared to indoor. And so I think there are a lot of different things that are going to affect prices in the future. So it's a good question, and hopefully that answers it for you.
Liz, thanks very much for the call. You know, Thomas, I've often wondered this. There are how many stores you say are in Massachusetts now?
I believe it's something in to the tune of 59 medical dispensaries and 66 recreational dispensaries.
Well, you know, it occurs to me that on a federal level, it's still illegal. Is there any concern even in the back of your minds at Theory Wellness that, oh, gosh, well, one day the feds are going to walk in and we're done. We're out of business.
You know, I think that's always something that you have to be prepared for. One of the things that we always say at Theory is you have to prepare for the unexpected. And so when we sell, we always know that we let all of our customers know that cannabis that is sold from us is intended to be consumed in Massachusetts. But over time, you know, I think we hope that we know that there is a movement around cannabis that is happening right now. We know that there are a lot of people having this discussion, and we know that there are a lot of people who support cannabis at this point nationally. And so we hope that that will continue into the future.
Mark, you want to weigh in?
Well, I agree that it's a trend toward recreational and medical marijuana. I think we have currently 8 states in the United States that are fully illegal, and 30 that are roughly mixed, and another, I think it's 12 or so that are fully legal. It's a trend. I don't think it's going to stop. I don't think the feds are going to come in. It'd be very interesting to see if they did and under what conditions that would happen. I think something needs to shift in terms of, you know, how does one bank their income when there's a federal law against this income. I don't know if you want to speak to that, but it's an interesting dilemma. I think the trends will continue. The United States is following a number of countries. Interestingly, I don't know if this is a statistic well known, but Israel, by all countries, is the highest. Yeah, you probably know that, the highest ratio of people smoking marijuana recreationally. And then, of course, a number of countries, the entire country is fully legal. So it's happening. It's just, how will it manifest? What are the medical considerations? Blue Cross Blue Shield saw something like a 100% increase in marijuana-related problems. So there is some kind of costs to society and healthcare. That's the other end, the shadow side, the I don't know how we talk about this openly in a society, but and not be biased entirely. So these are some of the questions that come across my desk.
We are joined today by Mark Aronoff and Thomas Winstanley, and we'll get back to your phones and some emails shortly. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Back to the home stretch. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. We discussed the marijuana industry today with Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and Mark Aronoff, author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Several emails here, gentlemen, and then we'll go back to the phones till the end of the show. This one is from Laura. Laura says, I taught high school in a small rural North Country school. I was so sad to witness quite a few of my boys drop out of school because of pot. They were bright and promising, but after a while, they just wanted to stay home and smoke. In one parent conference, many teachers expressed concerns about a student, and his mother said, I know he smokes too much, but it drowns out the voices. So mom was letting her son smoke pot to self-medicate rather than getting him mental health help. And those are Laura's concerns. Mark, you go first.
So one of the big, I think, myths and or concerns is, does marijuana lead to harder drugs? In this case, what you're describing, though, I want to just relate to what we know in terms of science is the prefrontal cortex. That is that part of the brain related to decision-making, rational decision-making, taking care of ourselves, is developing during our teen years up until our mid-20s. And we know that marijuana affects that. Motivation is affected, in particular, socialization skills and memory obviously is affected. These are often short-term and can be remedied if one stops smoking pot. It always breaks my heart when I see a teen drop out like that. And what we don't understand fully is, are there mental health conditions that pre-exist the smoking of the pot? What is the family system like? What support systems are in place in this particular location for mental health access? Is there an intervention that could take place in some way? What are the influences of this child's life? And these are the indicators and predicators of success, possibly, and or in this case, a dropping out of school. I wish this mother all the support she can get.
All right, this one's from Jane. Jane says, I support legal recreational marijuana, and I've been to a few of the dispensaries in Massachusetts, including Theory. I've been impressed by the professionalism of these businesses, but I have a concern. Much of the products purchased come in plastic containers. While they may technically be recyclable, we all know that a significant portion of recyclable plastics end up in our landfills. What about the idea of providing an option for returning the containers for reuse? If that's not possible for reasons of regulation, what can be done to address this issue? That's from Jane. I'll let Thomas Winstanley handle that one.
Yeah, so that's a great question and something that we have been discussing, I think, since we've really moved into the recreational market and even before then. First off, because of this product category, one of the bigger things that we take a step for in terms of securing the process of cannabis is making sure that every packaging piece that we have is childproof. And so with that, there are limitations around the type of substrate that we use in terms of the packaging that we offer today. That being said, we love the idea of the quote-unquote, what we call the growler model, that is very much consistent with the craft beer industry, which is what we've actually modeled a lot of our operation out of. However, we do know that this is something that we get a lot of feedback on, and so we are taking steps through, one, looking at as many different types of vendors that we can to support more sustainable packaging approaches that meet all of the requirements from the regulatory bodies. We've moved from plastic jars in a lot of instances now into glass jars, which are recyclable, and they're also reusable for someone at home. And then lastly, we're also looking at more recyclable types of paper to increase the process of making a more sustainable footprint around the industry. But we know that this is something that is that we get some feedback on, and we're looking to address at the pace that we need to.
All right, this one's from Mitch. How hard was it to start your business? What hurdles did you have to overcome once it was legalized? What advice would you have for someone who would want to start a similar business besides not to move into your region? And that is from Mitch. I guess that would be for Thomas.
So I think this is a really good question, and you know, it depends on really where you want to, where your point of entry is and what state is. This is a long process. It's a bureaucratic process. Not only are you working with the state to complete all of the paperwork required to get one of the licenses, but then you also have to work very closely with the towns and communities that you hope to operate within. It is not unexpected to have this process take up to 2 to 3 years. It can be really cost intensive. And at the end of the day, there is a level of volatility where the market is always changing, the landscape is always changing. And so it is a long path. And, you know, make sure that you're in it for the right reasons. Make sure that you want to create an operation that's going to affect change. And certainly be prepared for a long road that has a lot of curves in it.
I mean, we'll hit the phones in just a second. But I got to ask you this, Thomas Winstanley. You know, back in the day, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun had a virtual monopoly on casinos in New England and the New York area. And then there were casinos everywhere. And suddenly you had these giant casinos that, oh my gosh, not so many people are coming anymore. Are you not a little bit concerned in Massachusetts that if and when New York legalizes, a lot of your business will go bye-bye?
Well, there's always a concern, but honestly, because of the nature of the industry, what we really want to focus on is every day getting our operation right. There's a lot of room for change. There's a lot of room for growth. But at the same time, too, we are aware that opening states might have an effect on our business. But really, those are all things that we'll address as soon as they come forward. To speculate can become a little bit of a challenge, especially because there are so many unknowns in the future. And especially with the way that the political landscape is turning, there are a lot of things that could happen. At the end of the day, we just really want to focus on getting the operation we have today right and really trying to be a role model for what cannabis can be in the future.
We are talking the marijuana industry today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and Mark Aronoff, author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. And let's go to Jill in Longmeadow. Jill.
Yes, hi. I had a question. What marijuana would Mark recommend for an adult who is high functioning with anxiety? So a strain that would, so you could function fine at work, you're just not having the anxiety and that type of thing.
I'm going to tell you my preference is no marijuana, but I'm going to answer your question. I'm an advocate of meditation and stress reduction and activities you can do sober that have a profound effect on lowering anxiety. That said, if you'd like to, and I'd like to hear from Thomas, if you'd like to also have a substance that you find is incredibly beneficial, reducing anxiety is certainly one of the positive effects. I've heard very good things about CBD, kind of 1-to-1 CBD, or even 2-to-1, two CBDs to one THC, or CBD to THC, 1-to-1 gummies. Can, of course, they take a little longer, an hour to 2 hours to affect, but I've heard good things with my clients to reduce anxiety. That said, as Thomas will note, there's a menu at Theory that will give some indication. I think it's quite subjective and personal as to what others have found helpful for anxiety reduction. But that said, I do encourage lifestyle changes also outside of substance.
Jill, thank you for the call. And Mark, great point about the subjective nature on the menus. You'll see this helps reduce anxiety. This gives you energy, this and that. I ask Thomas, with all due respect, where's the science that says, all right, this increases your energy. This strain is going to relax you and make your toes feel better or whatever it does.
Yeah. So another really good question. So As research starts to emerge, we're going to learn a lot more about the real efficacy of these types of products. A lot of the information that we are working off of is somewhat anecdotal from the growers who are producing it, but as well as from our own experiences and from what we know from the research that we have. A lot of what we try to do is, especially with customers who are asking about, you know, how do you relieve anxiety but maintaining function, we're always looking at the entire suite of products that we have. And certainly everybody's response to cannabis is different. So something that might work for me might not work for someone else, and vice versa. And so we always want to do is to try to coach whomever is trying cannabis as a medical replacement or a medical treatment, to try a few things to see what starts to work, and then to really start to chase a treatment around those products. But ultimately, it's hard to say because we don't have as much research, but there's enough information out there that exists that we can start to drive that dialogue. And hats off to Mark, because his recommendations would actually be right in line with mine. A one-to-one CBD to THC is actually a really great place for somebody who is looking for that anti-anxiety. The CBD is a really wonderful treatment approach, especially CBD that is extracted from the cannabis plant, not so much from hemp. Having a little bit of the THC helps really activate the full efficacy of the CBD. And so at broad strokes, we know some of these core areas, but as I said earlier, we want to see this research continue to progress our understanding of the plant.
Let's jump back to the phones here and go to Barry in Schenectady. Barry, you're on.
Hey, hi, Ray.
Hey.
I love it since I've been going to Massachusetts and getting legal marijuana, cannabis. I'm a boomer, and I never thought that would happen.
Okay.
You know, but when you go and you want to enjoy the cannabis, it's like alcohol. You can see different proofs,
yeah.
You know, and right. And what you're just talking about, you know, what relieves anxiety or for pain, I am wholly into trying to figure that out.
Hmm.
You know, I'm reading the reviews and I'm going and I'm buying specific strains, and I never thought I'd live to see this, but then again, I never thought I'd see live to see Trump and the coronavirus, so
well,
there you go.
All right. Strange times. Barry, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Walter in Wilbraham. Walter.
How you doing? Great show.
Thanks.
I was somebody had told me the other day that they were working on vending machines in Massachusetts. Is that true?
Thomas?
Yeah, this is there was a news article about this. There is a company out of California that is bringing their vending machines to the East Coast. The Massachusetts market is going to be a place where they will be available. But to be really clear, the expectation is not that these are going to be set out on corners or in public-facing areas. To my knowledge, these vending machines will actually be located in dispensaries themselves, so more of a self-serve function within a dispensary versus somewhere public-facing where you can swipe an ID and then make a purchase.
All right, Walter, thank you very much. Mark Aronoff is here, author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Thomas Winstanley is the director of marketing, I guess is the actual term, for Theory Wellness in Massachusetts. And Victoria is in Pittsfield. Victoria.
Hi, I'm a medical marijuana patient who has to go to Northampton Nutta to get CBD extra strength white lotion, which is the only thing that works for me because everything is different at different places. I've been to the Theory, and they only have a salve, and the salve doesn't work. And, of course, they tell me that they have to have their own person who does it, so it's impossible to get a lotion that you might have somebody else somewhere else works well with you. They can't do that. And I'm wondering why they can't do that, because, I mean, that's the only thing that works, and I can't even go to a place near my – I live in Pittsfield. I can't go to some place there. I have to go to Northampton, which is a nice drive, but still and all, in the winter, it's not so.
Ah, okay.
So just to be clear, so the question is, why aren't we carrying a CBD-infused lotion? Is that the question?
Yes, it's the only one that will work for me. It's a CBD extra strength white lotion, and they don't have it any place in Pittsfield because I've called or with you. Mm. It's only a salve that they have, and I want to know why I can't get this one lotion, which I won't say the name of, but which works for me. I have terrible arthritis, and this is the only thing that actually makes the pain bearable, you know, tolerable. And nothing else works. And I've tried edibles. That doesn't work. So there's no point in using that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know why they can't carry that.
Right. So I think this is another really great question. And, you know, I'm glad that you found some relief using CBD in a topical CBD. One of the challenges, I think, as a small batch craft cannabis brand is that we are limited in terms of our production facility for how many different types of products that we can bring to market. We have in the past had a CBD-infused muscle cream, a facial lotion, a body lotion, and the salve, and a body oil even. I'm not sure what has happened with those, but I'm happy to shoot a note to our VP of production and inquire, and certainly use you as a testament for someone who's looking for those products. We always honestly love to hear feedback from our medical patients because you guys started the industry for us. You're keeping us alive and well, and so we always welcome that feedback. And a lot of the time, there are tons of products we wish we could bring to market. But at the end of the day, we're limited in so many that we can bring in. But I'm going to shoot a note out and try to learn a little bit more.
All right. This is wrapping up the program. We only have about 90 seconds left here. And this is a rather big question, but we'll throw it out there and we'll let you both comment. Mark, you first. This one is from another Mark. Mark writes, what about all those out there who say marijuana is a gateway drug? Don't you worry that there is a danger to young kids by making this legal? And that's from Mark. Mark Aronoff, you have 20 seconds.
The question is one of causation. What are the underlying factors? Research has shown marijuana is not necessarily the gateway. It's the bigger picture of, again, existential questions. Who are you? What motivates you? What's your life experience been? Is there underlying mental illness? And these are often the conditions and predicators of future problems. An addictive mind is often coming from trauma. And there's therapy and there's help and there's other things you can do to mitigate risk. Marijuana is certainly one of the safest interventions. It's not necessarily a gateway.
All right, Thomas Wynn Stanley, you have about 20 seconds as well.
So I think at the end of the day, this is still a controlled substance. This is something where it is heavily regulated for a reason. With all individuals who are coming through our store, we start with the same expression for each of them. Start low, go slow, understand what your limits are, and then start to see how cannabis affects you. We have a lot of rules in place to prevent overselling. We have a lot of rules in place to control exactly what this experience is. At the end of the day, we know that the future of cannabis is looking very bright. We want to make sure that we open up this industry in a way that is equitable for everybody, but also safe for everyone as well. Take the time, ask the questions, reach out to customer service, learn more about what experience you want to have, and we'll help get you there.
All right, that was over 20 seconds, but well said. Thank you both, Mark Aronoff and Thomas Wynn Stanley, for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray. Cheers.
Support comes from Pelham Auto Service, Route 9 at the Amherst Belchertown line, currently open during normal business hours. Curbside service for all to stay safe and healthy during this time. Worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And Capital Roots, providing essential food services to seniors, families, and vulnerable populations during these challenging times, while also supporting our small farms and local businesses. CapitalRoots.org to learn more. Once again, thanks to Thomas Wynn Stanley of Theory Wellness and mental health counselor Mark Aronoff for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy. Thanks to Matt Plummer for answering the phones. Tomorrow we'll talk sports with Jane McManus and Keith Strudler. Stand by now for 51%.